These simple little objects, Mr. Corder, they were the first.
Ryan noticed a twinkle in Doc's eye.
The first what?
Ryan was baffled as usual by the gaunt man's predilection for understatement and riddles. Ryan's moods in talking with Doc ranged from amazement at the knowledge the man possessed about pre-Dark artifacts and history to sheer unadulterated rage at having to play Doc's twisted version of his own private guessing game.
The first to make the trip there and back again.
You mean to use the gateways?
In a manner of speaking, yes. You are correct, sir. Like myself, these little balls were test subjects, hurled back and forth, in and out. Unlike myself, they made the journey sane, whole, intact. No added wrinkles. No moss on these rolling stones. No, sir. They were emblems, dark emblems from a dark time. But now they are emblems of hope.
Ryan glared at the man sitting across from him, before getting to his feet and tossing back the metal ball.
There are times, Doc, when I just don't get you.
Doc shrugged, and idly switched the throne sphere from one hand to another.
I know. There are times, friend Ryan, when I do not get myself.
Later that evening, Ryan and Christy headed toward the depths of the massive information storage and retrieval room located within the walls of the Wizard Island Complex for Scientific Advancement. The leader of Wizard Island had called Doc Tanner by name when he first saw him, despite neither one of them ever having met. Why this was so, Doc couldn't or wouldn't say. So Ryan had decided to take a trip to the island complex's library. And that's where Doc had come upon them later, as they huddled in front of a computer, ready to view the contents of a disk that came from an envelope with TT/CJ/CE marked on the front. Now they were staring at a message on the screen. Access denied. Refer to subcode CJ, all sex. Go to mainframe on limit/inject. Enter code now for reading.
It's E, then M, and finally Y. Spells Emmy. Almost spells Emily, does it not? Ah, yes, the proper codes. I always lacked the proper codes. However, in this case, I can point you on the right path, since fate, or a higher hand, has decreed that you see a listing of all my fascinating past.
Knowing the voice, Ryan didn't even turn from the monitor screen as he quickly tapped in the three letters and pressed enter, and was rewarded with a series of glowing green letters that laid out all the cards on the felt of the playing table. Subject: Tanner, Theophilus Algernon, Doctor of Science, Harvard, Doctor of Philosophy, Oxford University, England. Birth date and location: South Stratford, Vermont, February 14th, 1868. Married, June 17th, 1891. Wife, Emily Louise, née Chandler. Children, 2, Rachel and Jolyon.
Can't be the same man.
Ryan navigated a cursor light down to the toolbar on the comp screen and clicked on a visual button. In response, a mugshot of a sad-looking man in his early 30s popped up in a window. The portrait was unmistakably their own Doc Tanner, a much younger version, minus the complex map of age that now lined his face, but the bright blue eyes that still held a wink of childhood and the strong white teeth being shown for the camera were one and the same. Ryan clicked off the photo display and went back to the text of the file, reading farther down, beyond the initial entry of biographical information.
No wonder they knew you when we showed up here, Doc. You were in their files, your pic, your bio. Stored in here with all kinds of overlapping entries regarding time trawling and matter transfer.
And do you believe what you read, Ryan?
Yeah, I guess. Explains a lot. According to this, you were the only success in their entire time trawling program.
There are varying degrees of success, Ryan Corder.
Doc turned and exited the library, running from the truths it housed.
I'll go after him. He sounded pretty upset.
Ryan held out a restraining arm.
Wait a sec. I'm about done here. We'll go together.
Going to the end of the document, Ryan and Christy read the final entry. Subject's refusal to become reconciled to temporal correction proved difficult. Several abortive attempts to bribe or cheat his way into the Kron chambers were undeniable evidence of his overwhelming desire to travel back to his own time. Subject's constant attempts to rejoin beloved Emily and his own century became a considerable irritant. Dr. Tanner was taken by the appropriate responsible authorities and placed under restricted access and egress. When this proved to be an unsuccessful deterrent, Subject was used in final stage trawl and pushed along via temporal conduit to future setting, destination and chronological year unknown.
The arrogant bastards.
There's a whole lot of names here, topped by some white coat named Herman Wells, who was apparently Doc's keeper during his years as a guest of this Operation Kronos.
Ancient history, I guess.
Ryan turned the comp console off, leaving the information disk inside the drive. Outside the massive vault of the library, they found Doc waiting for them. His head hung low. The older man's eyes were red from crying.
You read it all?
Ryan nodded.
I am so alone, my dear Ryan and Christy. A mere speck of infinity, 2 centuries old, with my wife and children long dead. Yet in their world, they are all alive and waiting for me to return. So you see, I still cherish the hope that one day I will be able to go back to them if the right gateway is found. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think time alone might do my weary soul some good.
Doc turned and left the couple in the hallway. They watched his back as he slowly made his way down to the bend in the corner and disappeared from sight. Within the main control room of El Moro's secured matter transfer gateway complex, the heavy steel and armor-glass door to the six-sided unit was hanging open on twin counterbalanced hinges, waiting to be closed in order to start yet another Kron jump. Jamais Vu unlocked the single handcuffed manacle left on his aching wrist.
Tanner! Are you alive, Tanner?
Of the temporal-skipping Doc Tanner, there was no sign, save a few spatters of fresh blood near the door to the chamber. Stepping over lightly to the gateway door, Jamais Vu rubbed a finger across one of the drips, and it came back smeared with the crimson fluid.
Ah, still fresh. I'd say somebody's got a bloody nose.
Jamais Vu held Mildred's target pistol loosely in one hand, ready for firing at the instant Doc might be stupid enough to reveal himself. Although he wasn't about to admit it, Jamais Vu was impressed. He'd expected Tanner to have been a mewling, puking wad of skin and bones, hunched in the fetal position in the center of the gateway, already dead or wishing to be out of his misery. That the old man had instead possessed the stamina to stagger out of the gateway chamber and find a place to hide increased his respect for his fellow time traveler.
I must thank you for allowing me to track and observe your vital signs during the trawls, Dr. Tanner.
Jamais Vu scanned the room, eyeballing the banks of comps and debating whether there was enough room for a man to conceal himself behind them, his back pressed tight against the wall. Jamais Vu stepped closer, but saw nothing.
Details of your resiliency were the final components required before I attempted my own return trip into the past, and I must say that your survival now tells me that with the proper usage of drugs, I can make my own time jaunt without fear of being ripped apart in the temporal matrix once my molecules have been reassembled in the final stage.
Still peering warily at his surroundings, trying to deduce where Doc had gone to ground, Jamais Vu walked to the central comp console. Within the combination of control room, observation lounge, and actual Matran's gateway, there were a dozen places Tanner might have chosen to secure himself. Jamais Vu was loath to fire his weapon indiscriminately, not wishing to damage any of the sensitive operating gear in the room.
You see, Tanner, it all boils down to takeoffs and landings.
He turned and spoke to the room in all directions, since he didn't know where his audience of one was secluded.
In my experiences when trawling, we usually succeeded in picking up our living subjects, but where we consistently failed was in handing them off safely in one piece at the other end, made for most messy landings.
Jamais Vu now wondered if Tanner hadn't just slunk off into a corner somewhere and died, like a wounded animal. However likely that possibility might be, he didn't want to take the chance. So he continued to speak as he stared at one of the comp monitors that had been tracking Doc's temporal processes.
The same thing applied in our attempts to send back living matter to select times in the past. We'd break apart whatever living tissue we were sending down the line, monkeys, chupacabras, humans, it didn't matter either way. We would disassemble them in the gateway using the same process designed for safely traveling from one locale to another, shoot their atoms into a quantum field, steer it to the precise instant in the past, and bring them back to their corporeal forms. Only during rematerialization, they...